September 25th, the new Fox Tuesday kicks off with New Girl's new season. Then welcome Ben and Kate.
Stay away from my sister before you find out what 6 years of Krav Maga feels like.
Well, like year and a half plus like 4 years on and off I was traveling.
Followed by another all-new New Girl.
What am I looking at here?
Pure, unadulterated friendship.
And the Mindy Project.
Can't believe you're tattling.
Tattling is when a little girl does it, okay? When a hot woman does it, it's called whistleblowing.
The new Fox Tuesday, premieres September 25th on Fox.
You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Gene
Johnson.
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com. And streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Sons of Anarchy After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Sons of Anarchy After Show.
Nice.
I knew that would bring a smile to
That's
your face.
Right.
Bing is for doing, and here at AfterBuzz, we are finally doing Sons of Anarchy Edition Season 5. We're going to recap episodes 1 and 2 and a whole lot more.
Yeah.
We have all about 4 seasons worth of stuff to cover.
Yeah, just a little.
I'm your host, Kevin Undergaro, and I'm here with...
Hey, guys, what's up? It's Chrisley Kennedy.
Chrisley Kennedy. Okay, so, Chrisley, you've been on me for the longest time. When
yes,
are we doing this show? When are we doing this show? When are we doing... So, I cranked it out in a very happy 3 weeks.
You are a champion. I'm impressed.
And I loved it. I loved every minute of it. It's a great show. It's a lot of fun. And I am excited to dive into it. I have friends over at FX, so hopefully as the season goes on, we're going to get some people on. I know Kelly Osinski had mentioned Chuck Zito would like to stop in, which would be nice.
Awesome.
But as this goes, as we unfold the layers, definitely we will be speaking to more and more people involved in the show.
Definitely one of the most layered shows I've watched on television. It's a lifestyle. Like,
okay,
it's not just a television show. It's a lifestyle.
Okay, so that's what's so great is as I knew you were a fan. But then I come to find out today...
I was an old lady.
You were an old lady.
Yeah. You know, I mean, in my dating history, I've definitely dated many of men, and almost all of them have had motorcycles. So I've been an old lady once before. And, you know, it's the way it works. You're the old lady. It's not, hey, how's Chrisley? It's, hey, how's your old lady?
How's your old lady?
I was a biker chick.
You were a biker. Did you say biker bartender?
I did. The bar that I worked at back east was a biker bar. We didn't have colors in our bar, so there were no motorcycle gangs allowed in.
You weren't allowed. Well, the colors weren't allowed.
The colors
weren't allowed. But you probably had members in there.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was. They don't really go out without their colors, so they didn't come too often. But it was definitely a biker bar. It was old school 80s rock biker bar, and it was awesome.
Are you Rhode Island or Boston area?
Rhode Island.
Rhode Island. It has a lot of bikers down there.
There are. And we did all the rides every year. We did the Toys for Tots ride. We did the Blessing of the Bikes. It's my family's been on motorcycles since I could hold on. So I've been on the back of a bike for a long time. Got my motorcycle's license, but didn't feel safe driving in California.
No, neither do I. Mm-mm. I have my license as well, and I've known guys in these gangs and have worked not with them, but alongside them. And it's a spooky world.
It's
a spooky world, but I guess it's kind of fun. But
what's interesting, and I think the show is amazing at elaborating the fact that it all comes back to family. As much as they do these horrible things, which are inconceivable, it all comes back to their family, and they're doing what's best for what they think is their family, which is a really interesting thing, because no matter how bad it gets, they always come back to each other. And I feel like that's the way it is in real life.
Well, we always as human beings have this need to connect.
Mm-hmm.
That's why no matter how much we get apart from each other, with whether it's texting or Facebooking and we're not interacting physically, there's still that need to connect. And you know, goes back to Mafia too,
right?
Where they wanted to feel like they were part of something,
mm-hmm.
and so I get like where there, if you don't have a family or you have a broken family, or I get where you would want to be part of one of these clubs because you have a family,
right?
Some,
and then you become the family once you have children. Your family kind of just become part of that. You know right. what I mean? With almost not a choice.
And you're always taken care of. At least mm-hmm. you know you're led to believe that. And when you go to jail, same thing.
Right.
Or if you go to jail, so I get the allure, and I also get the allure of a lot of I know a lot of civilians who want to help them and be in with them mm-hmm. because they think it's cool.
Right.
And they also, you know, want to endear themselves to them for whatever.
Right.
You never know when they think they're going to need them.
Exactly.
anyway, I'm really excited to be doing this. And I'm excited to be doing it with you because I knew you were a fan, but now I didn't know you're an old lady. By the way, so you're obviously very pretty. Were the other girls pretty or are they nasty?
You know, I think it depends on any of the guys that I dated weren't in a gang, a motorcycle gang at all, or a motorcycle club, I should say. But, you know, there are the true old ladies, and then there's sometimes the girls on the side, and not everyone has that, but you know, it takes a certain kind of woman to be on the back of a bike with that kind of guy, and maybe
right,
they're not all the prettiest of
okay.
girls,
right.
But we're definitely all the same, where we're both very hard and we're both kind of tough and we kind of don't deal with bullshit.
So the girls on the side, though, they're the ones who are pretty,
usually. Yeah,
they're the pretty ones.
They're the tarts.
Right. Interesting. Okay, so we open this season with Gemma kind of showing her true colors, or it seemed like it when I see her in that scene, I'm like, wow, she's kind of gone back to...
It's a whole other side of Gemma that we've never seen. Gemma has always been really strong throughout the series, but you've never seen this side of independence with her. She's always done everything for the club and never anything for herself. And this time we're really seeing her do things for herself.
Right. And she's... And it's interesting too. Jimmy Smith's coming in with a new character of Nero.
Nero, which took me like 8 times for them to say it for me to get what they were saying. I kept calling him Euro.
Euro.
It's like
it's
Euro?
Nero, and you can see he wants to be really involved.
Yes,
and he's being very helpful. He mm-hmm. clearly really likes her. She's really starting to like him.
He's very soft with her, which she's clearly not used to with the men that she's had in her life, and she also hasn't been this genuine or soft with another man since the rape, which was, what, season 3?
Right.
So you really haven't, even with Clay, even on the times where they were the most intimate, you never saw that softness
never.
Of her that you're seeing with her already.
I always felt she was a little disconnected from Clay.
I mean, their history, how can you not be?
And just how she was with the bird, you mm-hmm. know, early, in the earlier seasons. And he said, I think you like that bird more than you like me. And I think it's true. I also see a lot of Lady Macbeth in her, where she's, I don't know, at some point, aren't they all going to find out that it was her that responsible for maybe John's death as much as Clay, if not, it seems like more so.
Clay would be the only one to out her at this point because she burned those letters. So those letters that had her name in them where JT was saying, it's got to be Clay and Gemma has a part of this. She took those letters out and burned them. So the only person, Unser will never betray her. I mean, I say never. I also thought a lot of things wouldn't happen that happened last season.
I think Clay won't in that regard.
I wonder, because he's been pushed so far at this point,
right.
And the things that he's done, I mean, just killing JT in the first place with Gemma, the things that he's done and the people that he's betrayed, I think that he can get pushed to that point, because I don't think he cares about anyone but himself. Because he, as much as Gemma's done for him, he still had no problem laying it into her. I mean, he beat her to a pulp.
Yeah, he did. He beat her really bad. We don't want to jump. I guess we'll just jump around. But, you know, with Clay, in his moment of passion with her, he said, you know, I was too much into tight pussy. And it seemed like she gave the order to kill John. And he, as a pussy whipped guy, went along and did it.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I feel like I always thought that Gemma had more control over Clay than he ever wanted to agree with until last season, and then you saw
that snapped
change.
But it's a mistake, because she really is the power of
she
this
is.
Whole club, and that's why, you know, there's a death sentence on him, because she's saying to the son, you gotta kill him, and he's like, I promise I will, we just gotta tie up some loose ends, but eventually, you know, it seems like I can tell where the series is going to end up, but I mean, that's probably for another discussion. But talking about Clay, man, he's piney now.
He is.
He's got the tubes up his nose.
Yep.
He's weak.
He's become the man he killed.
Right. And Ron Perlman's such a great actor. You know, even like noticing they're putting him in really baggy clothes. Mm-hmm. He's purposely hunching over. So here's, you know, Ron Perlman, who's still jacked for his age. He's got those huge biceps. And now it's like just gone.
And you can see the weakness in his eyes and in his face. It's really affected every part of him, which just shows what an amazing actor he is.
Right.
Because he literally, his facial expressions have completely changed. But I don't know that that's not all a show.
Wait, he couldn't pick up the... Okay, here's where you and I, we were talking about this off the air, and you feel as though Clay has some big, giant plan.
I do.
I feel he has a plan, but I still feel that he's genuinely weak. I mean, he couldn't pick up the bike. He's sitting and drinking alone. I don't think he's drinking alone, celebrating or relaxing. I think he's wallowing in his sorrows. But your take on it was that he's just sitting back.
I do. I think, you know, watching the seasons and seeing Clay kind of develop as what I thought was genuinely trying to do the right thing and who ended up being this complete monster, I feel like he is sitting back and watching the chess pieces move almost. Like, he has done so much work as the president. He's had so many relationships that he's built that at this point, I feel like, yeah, he's miserable and he knows that a lot was taken away from him. But I also think that in the same token, when he's sitting there and he's drinking, he's sitting back and watching the chess pieces move and knowing what the next move is going to be on everyone else's behalf.
Well, it was definitely strategy to sit at the table and to admit that he killed Piney. It was a great move.
Huge move.
So you take that away from, you know, you take that away from Jax now. Jax can't hold that over your head.
Right.
So it was great strategy. And then even to go out to Opie.
Well, when Jax chose not to kill Clay, I mean, we all understood why. You know what I mean? The CIA is involved. Right. He has to get this relationship.
Right.
But when he spoke to him in the hospital and he held the knife to his throat and he said all those things, I just felt like this is such a bad move because Clay has these relationships that are clearly not happening with you and only with him. So he still has control. Whether you're Patch's as president or not, he still is going to have control. And he showed that with that move tonight because he didn't go to Jax and tell him what he was going to say. He didn't do any of that. He went and did exactly what Jax didn't want him to do and showed that he still has more control than Jax would like him to.
And now, well, you know, because what can be said to him now? It's all out on the table. He put it all out there.
I mean, he still lied a little bit, but he put most of it on the table. He owned up to that he killed him.
Right.
But, you know, he did, of course, leave out some of the key information that Piney didn't really shoot at him first.
About the letters and things that. But, you know, it worked for him because he could say, well, Piney came in the club and shot at me. We've always had bad blood.
Right. And going to Opie was a big move because he's always lied to Bobby. He told Bobby he was going to be the number two and then lied to him again. So I feel like because Bobby questioned his authority for so long that he's also not just trying to screw with Jax, but he's also trying to screw with Bobby, which is why he went to Opie as well.
Or had Bobby drive him there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to jump around a lot. I don't think Bobby is the best call for VP.
I don't think he was either. But I think with the options, he's been there the longest. He's one of the original nine. Jax knew that he was safe with Bobby. He's not as much of a loose cannon. Opie would have, of course, been the first.
I felt like Chips. Yeah, I know. Opie would be first. I mean, by the way, at some point, it's going to be him and Opie. It has to be.
It has to be.
But I felt like Chips would have been a good VP.
Chips would have been a good VP. He's not as much of a loose cannon as, say, like Tig.
He's not a loose cannon.
And he really hasn't. I mean, they've all done things wrong towards the club, but it's kind of the way it works. I didn't really think of him as VP.
I just think, like, Bobby Elvis is just, like, just kind of roly-poly. Like, in the VP role, I would think you'd want somebody stronger.
Yeah, I think it's the trust with Bobby.
I think
that would be the decision on why it went to Bobby, is that he is trusted because Jax did have to tell him about the CIA and Romeo. So, right. I mean, it's all a trust thing.
And we know Jax he's definitely, he can fill the father's shoes. He's really smart. He's a great leader.
He's so becoming. I mean, obviously, we didn't ever get to see his dad, but from the letters and the things that we've heard, he's so becoming his dad, even right down to the journals.
But as I said to you before, because I know we're going to switch over to Tara in a second, but talking about becoming the dad, I still feel it's a 2.0 version, meaning right, because he said, you know, my dad walked away from the club. You know, so I'm not my dad. I am a lot like him, but I'm going to see it through.
And the situations were the same. He left for a woman and a child.
Right. But he's not. Jax is hanging in.
Well, he has no choice at this point.
He doesn't, but he said, but you know, he had said last season, I don't know, I took that at face value when he said, I'm not my dad.
Right.
Yeah, you know, I'm hanging in because this club is my life. And I love his relationship with OP too. I love that, you know, and I mean, we'll get to OP in a second, but talking about, you know, before we're getting too far ahead, it's Tara.
Yeah.
So you were remarking how you really see the growth in Tara now.
Cute. I hated Tara at the beginning. When she first came back around, I mean, we knew the backstory. They were together 14 years ago and Gemma didn't like her and pushed her away and she was a doctor. But she was just so stiff all the time. And you're not going to change Jax. Jax is born and raised in this motorcycle club. Right. And you're not going to pull him out of that. And for so long, she fought that with him. And the last couple seasons, she's changed so much as a character. And even this season, her look is even different. Like, her role stepping up as the president's wife or girlfriend until tonight it was even a physical change in her. She stood a little bit taller. You saw her smoking the joint in the bathtub with the gun. Like, she's just so becoming a Gemma.
She's becoming a Gemma, but again, I think it'll be Gemma 2.0 because, you know, Gemma, you know, ordered her husband killed because she was jealous the husband was with somebody else.
Right.
So I feel like those two are going to be, I think that's the way this, for me, the way the series ends is those two being the John and Gemma.
Right.
The right way.
It was so interesting when they showed that picture at the end of last season where they showed the picture of JT and Gemma sitting at the head of the president's table and then they cut to it being.
Yeah.
It was a cool shot. So it shows
that
them.
Obviously that's the way it's going to go. What was interesting about Tara smoking the weed, you know, I see it as her becoming Gemma, but I also see the hypocrisy with she's telling Gemma, you know, there's weed and alcohol in your breath every morning. I don't want you around the kids. But then she's smoking pot herself. Mm-hmm. I also feel that it's not the only reason she doesn't want Gemma around the kids. I think it's she wants her control to end. Her control over Jax, her control over
everything.
The kids. Yes, over everything. I'm stepping up. I'm going to be the new old lady. And again, great strategy by Gemma to give the wedding rings.
Right.
It's the same
Gemma
as Clay.
Gemma's so good at
that. It was
that.
Great strategy. Here's the rings. Like, I know I can't get rid of you, so let me give you these rings and make it look like I'm giving you the blessing, and we can kind of stay close, but in a kind of...
Well, because Gemma needs Tara, just in the same way that Tara needs Gemma. Because without them getting along, it will cause such ruckus within the family.
But I think Gemma needs Tara more.
Absolutely.
Because
100%.
When, you know, when son or daughter, when they're in love with somebody, forget it. Mm-hmm. You're going to get cut.
Absolutely.
Parents really have a hard time with that.
Right. And especially you're not just losing your son. You're losing something that you built for 20 years with someone.
Right.
Like this club,
the club
is her family.
She said that. That chair is our family.
Yeah.
It's ours. And yeah, she would get, and I think eventually will get cut, but obviously she's staving it off by giving her the rings.
And Tara would be smart not to cut her out completely because she's going to need her knowledge down the road. Mm-hmm. She's going to need her experiences within the club to know how to make the right decision. I think Tara will ultimately make better decisions than Gemma did, but she's still going to need that. Gemma said it before the wedding. No one's going to understand this like I do. And she's right. No one ever will. You don't see any of the other old ladies in the clubhouse as much as you see Gemma. So you know that Gemma's stand there is so much more valid. And Tara needs that.
Tara needs it. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. She's not ready.
Mm-mm.
She's not ready. Before we get too much further ahead,
yes,
because this is our first show,
yes,
we ask you to go to iTunes and comment.
Mm-hmm.
Now you might hate me. That's fine.
They
but
could never.
Chris Lee's so beautiful. and she's genuine.
And I was an old lady.
And she's an old lady. So we welcome your comments, your thoughts, your questions. Please rate us. And it helps us. It helps AfterBuzz, and it helps this show, and it, you know, helps prove to this network that we're a show that should be on the air. And I think, you know, we've gotten so much fan mail over the last 2 or 3 years saying, why aren't you doing Sons?
It's such an – people follow this show religiously. They talk about it like they know the characters. It's such a great show. I'd love to hear what your questions are, too. Like, I love
or
to
thoughts
hear,
or
yeah,
comments, because I think I think a lot of you guys out there will know even more than we do. You know, that's what we find with Breaking Bad and with Boardwalk Empire and Mad Men. Some of the other shows that are really well written is a lot of our fans tend to know more than we do or give us additional information. And so we welcome that yes, as well. What's up with juice being up Clay's ass? What?
I don't understand it. It's like, you know, obviously we saw him go back and forth with the police and being the intel last season. And then this season, I feel like every time they show Clay, Juice is right next to him, which, I mean, I get it. He was the president. You're still going to be loyal to him.
I mean, it feels organic because I feel like the old president, that's what you'd be like. You'd be respectful of the elder. But it must mean more.
I think it does. I think that the way that he said, made such a point to go to Clay and say, you know, I really respect you for stepping up and saying what happened with Piney and no one's going to vote you out. I feel like that it's all fear-based with Juice. Like, he's half black. And if the club finds that out, he may be out of the club, which means burning off the tattoos, which means horrible things.
Yeah.
So I feel like everything with him is fear-based. And I feel like because Clay has done everything kind of ass backwards, he feels that Clay would be more understanding of Juice's situation than, say, Jax would.
Because he's a broken wing himself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it's strategy. It's interesting to watch. You know, speaking of Opie,
and
we talk about, yeah, he's amazing. And so we talk about the, you know, the strategy on Clay's part, but I also like watching Opie, even as an actor, watching what he's done. I mean, starting out as this kind of fat,
overweight,
big guy.
Mm-hmm.
Then he got really, really skinny.
Yeah.
And you could tell that, you know, they made one comment about it, but for the most part, he just wore a lot of layers.
Yes.
When he was really, really thin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I'm not sure. I think that, you know, this is Kurt Sutter and then in the network probably said to him, like, no, you're the head. We need you to be big and strong.
Right.
We can't have you be this skinny guy. So they really padded him up nicely, and now what's happened is he's changed it all to muscle. Like you see in these first two shows, he is an unbelievable. He's not just thin; he's built.
He's huge.
Yeah,
and he's progressed so much as an actor from season one. I mean, even just the way that he delivers things and the way that you can see the emotion in his face before. In the first season, I was like, oh, I like Opie. But he's just transitioned so much. And talk about a guy who's faithful to this motorcycle club. This motorcycle club has killed everything he loves.
It killed Donna.
I mean, he will never get over Donna.
No.
I still can't get over Donna. I'm like, right, why did you have to go for the goddamn dish soap?
Yeah.
But, you know, it's Donna, now his father, and, yep, you know, you thought he was going to leave, but, I mean, we had to all know as fans of the show and as viewers that he was going to come back. Like, Opie without the motorcycle club isn't Opie.
And it was just, we cheered because we loved him coming back at the end of episode 2 and punching the cop, you know, brawling with the cops, mm-hmm, purposely so he could go inside and protect them.
Well, the scene where he rides up to the shop, he parks his bike in the row like he does every other day, but he doesn't have his colors on and he just walks away. That was such a bold scene for me,
right,
just being who he is
and putting
what
the for sale sign on my trike.
He
I
was
love
like,
the
I'm
tricycle.
Done. He was like, I'm washing my hands of this. I'm not. I'm done. I can't do it anymore. And so to see him come back and not only come back with his bike and his colors, but to knock out the sheriff was just,
right,
I mean, it shows that his family is the motorcycle club.
Was the first thing he asked, are they going to have protection on the inside? First thing he asked about Jax.
Yeah.
Now, was there anything genuine in Clay saying they're going to need you at this table? Is there any side of Clay that wants Opie there because it really is good for the club, or is it just purely strategy?
I can't tell yet. And it was something that I constantly thought about the last two episodes, was because you want to believe that all these things has changed him and made him realize that he wasn't making decisions for the club. He was making decisions for his pocket. It was all about the money at the end of the day. But now you're seeing this different side. And I go back and forth with saying he has to have an ulterior motive because it's Clay and he always has. And then I think, but maybe he is, because why else would he send Opie in? Like, he knew that Opie was going to try to protect Jax. And why protect Jax if you don't really want him around?
I mean, here's why I buy him being genuine, because I buy he's lost Gemma, which was his life, right? So he's lost her permanently. So what's left but the club? And he did, you know, he did say, "If you, you might as well kill me," when they took off the president's patch, you know, he said. And I felt that was genuine. So if that part's true, then it was about the club and not about him.
And the only other time I think he was genuine, but still struck me as odd, was when he was with Tig and Tig went to him and said, you know, why didn't you tell me? I mean, God, they've been together for how long?
Right.
And they've done everything together. I mean, God, Donna, like, it was everything with Tig and Clay. So for him not to have been honest with Tig, it's just interesting. And you can tell that hurts him. It's almost like that hurts him more than everything else that he's done. The relationship with Tig being lost.
Oh, you think hurts Clay more? Really? Mm-hmm.
I think his relationship...
I mean, Gemma must hurt the most.
I think, yes, because she was his kind of right hand, but Tig was his left hand. Like, I think they're equally...
But he was kind of stepping away from him the last season and a half, I felt like.
Because he couldn't tell him anything. He was involved in too much. And Tig's a loose cannon. Like, Jack said it tonight. He shoots first, thinks later. And it's true. You can't have somebody like... He's the best.
All right. Well, listen, let's... let's find out what's going on Fox, and then we're going to come back, and we'll talk about the Niners after that. So... What's going on?
Well, I mean, talk about serious, and you need a good laugh after watching
after
the show.
Watching this show, yes.
Because without a cigarette and a shot of Jack, you don't know what's coming up next. But Fox has premiere Tuesday. It starts tomorrow. It's stacked with awesome shows. Zooey Deschanel is back with New Girl, which I'm a big fan of New Girl.
Yeah.
She's just hysterical, and she finds herself looking for work immediately, which is kind of going to be fun because she's always been the most stable in the house, if you can say that.
Right.
From the producers of New Girl is also Ben and Kate, which is said to be the year's best new comedy. So I'm definitely looking forward to that. And there's always the Mindy Project, which Mindy Kaling's hysterical SNL. She has a great book. She does everything super fun. And she is sure to give you a night of laughs. So when you're done with the intensity of motorcycles and killing people, we want you to definitely go to Fox tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night, here's what I'm thinking. You can watch those shows live, and then you can watch Sons of Anarchy either on demand or you can buy it on iTunes, as we were doing.
Yeah, that's what we did. iTunes.
And as long as you listen to us, we're happy.
Yeah, just listen to us afterwards.
Either way. It's funny because Mindy's like exploding. I mean, Zooey already exploded. She's amazing, really funny. But Mindy is, and she's like, she's loved across the board.
She really is. And her book, it took me a little bit to get into it at first. I was like, I don't really know. But then once you figure out her sense of humor, her book's great. So I imagine the show is going to be
better. No, it's a big pickup for Fox. And it's nice to have a night of comedy. We always miss that from I always say the Thursday night NBC days.
Mm-hmm.
We miss it. So it's nice to have it back. All right. So to things that aren't so funny.
Not so funny.
The Niners.
Jesus.
And we open up on them coming back for revenge, and obviously it's punishment due.
Retaliation is no joke in the motorcycle club land. Like, it's no joke. It's not like I'm going to beat you up. It's an eye for an eye. You kill someone, you get killed.
So we've got to deal with them, but in the middle of all this, I mean, we meet Pope.
Mm-hmm.
Great actor. It was from Oz, I remember him from, but he's done several things. And we see he's smart. He's ruthless. He's
so poised.
He's educated.
Dresses impeccably, like so different from everyone else that we've really dealt with. I mean, the Irish are always well put together as well. But he just came in and he was so calm and soft-spoken and in total control.
You know what the racists say, don't you?
No.
There's only one worse thing than a black man.
What's that?
A black man with an education.
Telling you.
So
he's like running shit, literally. Like,
right.
I mean, he took everything under control in a second.
So we see him kill Leroy.
Leroy's done.
Done. Gone. Mm-hmm. Okay. Then the next guy steps up, but doesn't really step up. So they know
Well, he was afraid to step up, and but then once they gave him the gun and were like, "That's it, you have to shoot Jax." I mean, what else was he going to do?
Right, but they but the reason the gun was empty because in the previous scene they no, but the previous scene they knew he wasn't really committed. He was
course.
I don't know, what am I supposed to do? Right. Had he stepped, I think had he stepped up and said, "You know what? Like, I was way off base.
Right.
I'm going to handle this for you." Blah, blah, blah. But they knew he was soft and he was weak, and so off he went, you know, to get killed by Pope, making that statement to Jax to say, you know what, this is how ruthless we are, this is how little we f around,
mm-hmm.
and this is who you're dealing with, and all that was fine to me until we get to Tig and his daughter.
So I watched that episode without you, and I was screaming from the other room and shaking during that scene.
It was awful.
It was the two most intense scenes I think that Sons have had, period, so far, has been that and the Gemma rape.
And the rape scene.
That, to me, were the two scenes that, like, made my stomach turn. That it's just, they're so good at the writing and the way they come up with this stuff. But that scene with, and you knew it was going to happen. I mean, it was Pope's daughter. She was unintentionally killed. They were gunning for Leroy.
She was a junkie and a pain in the ass. Let's at least put that out there.
No, well, not the Leroy's daughter wasn't. Well,
not
she
Leroy's
was
daughter.
Like,
I'm sorry. No, she was fine. She was fabulous. No,
yeah.
I'm talking about.
But yeah, no. Tig's daughter was definitely a junkie. Definitely came and got some money for no good
right.
last season. But it, I mean, can you? I can't even imagine
no,
seeing that.
But here's what, okay. I love the show. It's a lot of fun. But one of the things that you have to let go of some things. You know, a mm-hmm. lot of people die in here, and the way they always kind of get off the hook and things like that, it's not as realistic as, say, like Breaking Bad or Mad Men or those shows. And I think you have to let that go and just enjoy the ride,
right.
figuratively and literally. But when for me, Pope to kill Trigg's daughter like that, and then not turn the gun and shoot Trigg right away. And, you know, I mean, was like, you're smart. You're smarter than that, Pope. And then also, like, the Scooby-Doo thing of, okay, we'll kill him later. You know, like, you guys take care of this. I'll be leaving. You know,
right.
Austin Powers always makes fun of that in his movies.
Right.
And the villain walks away, and lo and behold, Trigg gets away. So, for me, a little bit weak, but I will take that over Trigg getting killed because I love Trigg.
I was really surprised that, because obviously Pope's guy left him with the Oakland sheriff or detective. And I was surprised that they left it up to someone else to do the dirty work. Like, obviously they were going to take Tig to jail, but
even still, you couldn't do that. You had to kill. You could not burn someone's daughter alive in front of their face.
And then send them to jail.
It never. You have to kill them.
Right.
You know,
and he didn't. He chose not to.
You have to kill him.
Well,
so.
And I feel like he's choosing to send them to jail because I feel like his army in the prison is so much bigger than his army on the streets, and it can be done and taken care of so much easily in the prison.
Maybe,
so
yeah.
he's
oh, okay.
Because now he's got these two girls that two have come in and said Tig was behind the car, and two have come in and said that Jax and the other one were shooting. So he's paying people to come in and be witnesses because he wants them to go to jail because they can do a lot more
to
them
in
jail.
Yeah, jail, forget it. 40 bucks, we'll get you.
Right.
Like,
and I think his army's just so much stronger in jail.
A couple of cartons of smokes in someone's canteen.
Right. And how much protection does Sons have in jail? I mean, we don't really know. Otto's been in there forever, and he's kept himself safe.
Yeah, but he's also had problems.
A lot of problems.
He's had problems. He hasn't been able to handle himself very well in there. No, it doesn't seem like they have a strong outreach in prison.
No. Well, so it's almost a safer place to kill them.
Yeah. And they've said before, too, that the Sons are not as big. They're not a top 10 motorcycle gang-like outfit.
Right. And with Pope, you can see they're showing him
a boutique bike.
Yeah, they're
biker club.
They're like the standard. With Pope, you're seeing him in this huge office with these expensive cars. He's buying ice cream for children and ice cream trucks. So you can see that Pope is the kind of person that doesn't want this to fall back on him. So killing them makes it fall back on him because it was his daughter that was killed. So getting them arrested and sending them to jail and they get killed there, it doesn't fall back on him.
It won't. It's off him. All right.
Yeah.
I get it. I'm with that.
I'm just thinking like
but
a biker.
He's definitely our nemesis for this year.
Oh, God. Yeah.
He's our nemesis. So let's
Romeo.
Let's talk about the break-in.
I am blown away. Like, I am blown away. We know that there's been a string of break-ins, which we haven't really had too much information on other than it's all been geared towards the sons. And tonight's break-in to Gemma's house, the one thing that Clay kept mentioning was the safe, the safe, the safe. And then at the end of the episode, we see a car full of sons with the safe.
Chuck Zito, the new recruits.
Yeah, all the nomads.
By the way, so yeah, we should have said that.
We missed earlier. That.
They all got, you know, a bunch of nomads got voted in. Because I think our ranks are down.
Yeah. We need the numbers. Yeah, we don't, you know, I mean, everybody was dying last season. There's nobody left.
Right.
So, you know, we needed the new numbers. The prospect is not a prospect anymore. He's officially patched now.
I like him. He's great.
He's awesome. He's a great guy. He's a fun character to watch. It's been interesting to see him kind of gain his legs within the group.
But he, to me, came off as so realistic because I knew so many, like, kind of those fat, nerdy guys that
just
like,
want to fit in.
And they just really worked hard as prospects.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, you know, they work hard enough. Some of the guy prospects never get in.
Never.
But I like the fact that, you know, for one reason or other, he got in. But when I saw the way him and how he was cast, that worked for me.
Oh, it was brilliant.
Because
casting.
I've known a couple of guys that were just like that. They just, yeah. You know, we're
and
nerds.
And you do whatever they tell you whatever to in your prospect. Doesn't matter what it is. Yeah. You do it.
Whatever they tell you.
Yep. And he was brilliant casting. But when they patched in the nomads tonight, you knew that they needed numbers. You knew that they needed strength. They still have all this stuff with the cartel and the Irish that are going to be happening this season. So you know they need a bigger group. So surprised that they're the ones who are doing the break-ins because it makes your head spin. Is it Clay? Is it that there's on someone else's payroll? I mean, there's so many different ways that it can
go.
Well,
you're leaving out the one interesting thing. We knew it's a guy with a prosthetic leg or foot,
yes.
Right? But then you're the one who noticed what?
I am. You know, I thought
tell
it was
us what
really
you noticed.
With Nero, when he was with Jax before the car chase, he went into a group home for people with disabilities. And I kept saying that I felt like whenever they bring a new character in that comes really close to the family and the motorcycle club becomes dependent on them, there's always a reasoning. They're always doing something wrong. So I felt like Nero had to be doing something wrong. And then he goes to this place with disabled people and I'm like, hello, the robber had a prosthetic foot.
Right.
It just seems like he's setting them up for something and he knew that Gemma wasn't there because she was with him. So there's so many ways that you can spin it out. But at the end of the day, it was the sons that had the safe and the birth certificates. Why would they want birth certificates?
Said papers.
I got so excited. I was hitting my mic.
I don't know.
Like, what are you going to do with birth certificates?
I don't know. And which son ordered it? Was it Jax? Is it the nomads working on their own? Was it Gemma? Was it Clay? None of them have shown any indications that they have something else cooking.
No.
Like, or at least something like that. I mean, I don't know.
No, that's like the biggest cliffhanger of the second episode. I was just like thinking that it was Niners or something, some kind of retaliation, or maybe it was the CIA coming in because they wanted to see what was going on in the house.
Right.
Like, there were so many different ways to go about it. But then when it showed the nomads, the new guys, they, right. I mean, they just got patched in.
So, I don't know.
I'm ready for tomorrow.
I don't know. Okay, let's go to predictions.
Yeah.
And we'll catch up on tomorrow, and then we'll take you shot here.
I mean, Otto, we haven't
seen
him
yet. Wait, Maritza, are you sleeping in there?
No, I'm getting it.
Where's my... Come on. Are you Facebooking and ignoring us?
It froze. I mean, I could try to sing it.
Go ahead. You can do it, Maritza. And now, your AfterBuzz.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV
predictions. Okay.
Good job, Maritza. There we go.
There we go.
And now, where's that creepy
your
music?
AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Still crack up over this.
It's the weirdest music for predictions.
Sir Richard Wentworth, Malden's own. Gotta love him. Okay, so we didn't talk about Otto. We haven't seen Otto yet.
No.
And for those very few fans who don't know, it's actually played by Kurt Sutter, the creator of the series, who's also married to Gemma.
God, I want to meet him and pick his brain
bad. I know.
I follow him on Twitter, which is sometimes a scary thing to do.
Right.
I love you, Kurt, but sometimes you're just so raunchy.
Really?
It goes with the show. It goes with who he is. But God, would I love to pick his brain.
What are some of his tweets?
He's raunchy. Things that can't be repeated sometimes.
Okay.
But he's also, I mean, you can tell he's brilliant. You can tell he's so smart. He's so intricate. He plays Otto brilliantly, which I hope. We don't even know if he's alive.
Well, we don't know if we're going to find out because the boy's going to go in jail.
Yeah,
he's also a great actor in the role. And then we're gonna see them in jail. And then also, you know, the CIA now, the clock's ticking on: are they going to get the boys out, or are they going to go to Plan B? Which we don't even know what Plan B
is. They don't have a Plan B, but they'll make one.
Plan B is either use Bobby or Clay.
Yeah, I think they'd use Clay over Bobby
because Clay's smarter.
He's dirty too,
and he'll play dirty. Mm-hmm. Wow. All right. Either way. We're back tomorrow night. Now we're on schedule, right?
We are on.
We're going every week. So, Marissa, are we back Tuesday night? Are we?
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock.
Yes, Tuesday night, 8 o'clock.
We broadcast 8 o'clock. Broadcast 8 o'clock. All right, so check us out tomorrow night. Please rate and comment on us on iTunes. And I guess that's all. Until next week.
That's right. You guys follow me on Twitter at Chris Lee. I'll definitely be tweeting during the show tomorrow night because it's super intense this season, and I want to get to meet you.
At Chris Lee, K-R-I-S-I-L-Y.
I-L-Y.
Ciao, Maine.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.